We're going to be talking tonight about another subject. I'm moving away from Moses and Miriam. We're going to move on to another, almost complete opposite of what we dealt with the last time we met, about Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. We begin to build this thing in a more positive realm now. Understanding David's knowledge of authority. I don't know what chapter it is in your book, but we're going to be dealing with how David, King David, handled authority, how he functioned in authority, and how he recognized God's authority under the anointing. Because the anointing had been taken away from Saul, if you remember the story in 1 Samuel 15. But now, there's two kings on the scene. One king that's still reigning, that God had pulled the anointing from, and the second king that have not yet taken the throne, but yet carrying God's anointing. But he recognized the anointing in the office that Saul walked in. Even though Saul was stripped from his anointing, the office still was recognized by David. And so David recognized that authority in Saul and would not touch God's anointing, nor would he let anyone else. Ooh, you hear that? I just heard that for the first time. Saul, God would not, David, I get him straight, David would not touch Saul's anointing. Listen to the second part I said. And he would not let anyone else touch Saul's anointing. So, I'm trying to bring it home now. How would I say that? I would say that sometime we deal with folks on a daily basis, right? Church folks, then that's Christian. And when I say that, sometimes they try to touch God's anointing,
that's right,
or anointed on spiritual leader. Mm-hmm. And but David would not touch it personally,
right,
nor would he stop men from touching God's anointing. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? And we're going to see it in the Bible more clearly than I can explain it. The Bible is going to do a better job than me trying to explain. But I'm trying to bring you up to something here. Not at a price of rebellion did David seek the throne. What did I say?
Not at a price of rebellion did David seek the throne.
So the throne was present before David. Mm-hmm. He was anointed. The horn of oil was poured upon David by the prophet Samuel. And far as God was concerned, he was king. But yet David couldn't ascend to the throne until the timing was right. He could have sped up the process. You know, people try to do it every day. God didn't call them to do things, they want to speed up the process. They want to go through the process, they want to speed up the process. And God has a specific timing for it, because God still got some other things he want to get in order.
Yes, sir.
Some things he want to take out of order,
yes,
and put some things in order. And so he could not ascend to the throne until God's timing. But David could have by killing Saul.
Right.
But he knew God was still anointed. And I ask myself a question. I'm going to ask you a question. What makes a man's heart like that of David? I thought that was a quality question. What made the heart of David like it was in understanding authority, that God made him a man after his own heart? And I'm asking question, and I'm going to answer it. What made David like that was, you remember when David was watching them sheep? Samuel had the awesome job of I never heard the word, disanointing Saul. Because he said, you're going to be no more king to me. Mm-hmm. And now he had the awesome task of going anoint David, but he did not know it was David. God didn't tell him who to anoint. You see it? And so he went to Jesse's sons. Jesse had some sons. And he passed through all the sons. Some of them looked like they should have been king. Sometimes people want to know people look like king. But it was none of those that he came before him. And Samuel said, "You got any other children anywhere that I can look at?" And so what happened, you all know the story. What happens is that he said, "Yeah, I got this shepherd boy." I'm paraphrasing a moment. "I got this shepherd that he's tending some sheep." So I found out for myself that the reason David's heart was like it was, was the reason why Moses' heart was like it was. Moses spent 40 years on the backside of the mountain. God was pre-preparing him for his task. Sometimes people think God can't use them after if they stay too long. They get a little older. Like, "God, I thought you were going to use me. Here I'm 70 years old. It still looks like I ain't gotten to my ministry." Well, Moses was 80. Had spent 40 years in the wilderness on the backside of the mountain in preparation. I told a man one time, he was anxious about pastoring. And I never was a pastor. All I know I do is serve. And my calling to serve. Some people think there's another calling, but I mean for them, but I know my calling and I stay in my place. So he was anxious because all his Bible college friends were pastor in churches. And so he read the pastor, man. He'd been serving for a long time, and he came to me. And I almost called his name. I said, "Hear what the Lord told me to tell you. Long preparation, long ministry." See, some people don't understand that. The longer God prepares you, that the more maturity God can put in your belt, the more experience you can get, and the more God can put his training. Never get too anxious.
Amen.
Well, he ended up pastoring for a little while, and then he ended up going home to be with the Lord. Amen. But that was David's secret. Was that God prepared him with the sheep.
Yes.
Prepared Moses on the backside of the mountain in the wilderness to hear his voice. And David got to understand the shepherd's voice. You remember the 23rd Psalm? You all understand the 23rd Psalm. How God permitted David to pin, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." David had a personal relationship with God that God, I'm going to use this word. God put his heart in David.
Yes.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
He spent enough time with God on with the sheep that God trained him how to revert that thing to a spiritual thing.
Mm-hmm.
Shepherding sheep. And he got a heart for the sheep. For the people. David had a heart for the people. And he understood leadership. And he knew that the sheep couldn't do nothing without his leadership. Sheep are, can I use this word? All dumb animals. I hate to use that word because sometimes people think you're calling them dumb. But they purposely, God created purposely like that. A sheep will get lost in a minute. They have no sense of direction. And so with that being said, David knew that if I don't lead them, they won't know how to follow. So he led the sheep by example. And so when God just took what he had in his training and converted it to his use. Matter of fact, Jesus came out of his lineage. Everybody knows that. So let me walk you through this now. The time that God formally inaugurated his authority on the earth was at the time the kingdom of Israel was established. Now, we're talking about the kingdom of Israel. We're talking about the time God made or brought his kingdom to the earth. It was supposed to be a spiritual kingdom when the judges ruled. Remember the judges, Samuel? He ruled. God used judges. But then Israel began to see other countries, other places with kings.
Right.
And all of a sudden they were on the king. And Samuel said, this is what the Lord said. The Lord said, you get a king, this is going to change. That going to change. They're going to take your wife, and they're going to take your wife, they're going to take your son, and send them to war. And God showed them all the downsides of having a king. And so they said, we want a king. So God gave them a king. And so sometimes you got to be careful what you ask for, right?
Yes, sir.
Make sure you ask for what God wants you to have.
Amen.
Some people take scripture and try to make it fit them. 1 John, well, I think it's 1 John. And this is the confidence. 5 and 14. I think that's it. This is the confidence we have in him, that we ask anything according to his will. You see that? And that way people miss that. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us. We know we have the petition that we desire of him. Is that 5 and 14? Okay. So when you ask God for something, make sure you ask according to God's will. You see it? And not according to your will.
Amen.
Now, God began to establish his kingdom. Now, I got a definition for you here. Because I was thinking about the kingdom. God wants to establish the kingdom. You know, when you get the kingdom, you get a monarchy. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And with a monarchy, you get a monarch. And it's the person that rules a natural kingdom, an earthly kingdom. And monarchy is a form of government in which a country is ruled by a monarch or a human person. God went from ruling from spiritual power, now he got men ruling from earthly power. Saul was the people's choice. David was God's choice.
Amen.
And we're going to see the difference here because God anointed David to be king. The people choose Saul. But God chose David. So now the kingdom about to change now from a different kingdom after David about to replace Saul. But some things went on between the time that Saul was still reigning and David was still alive. I mean, David hadn't taken the throne. It's turning to 1 Samuel 26 now. I think we're ready to get in our lesson. I have to bring you up to that to know exactly what's happening here. Now, in the 26th chapter of 1 Samuel, we're about to see something here that I don't know how a lot of people would have handled it. 1 Samuel 26, we're going to start at verse 1. I'm going to read a little bit. I want you to see what's happening here because a lot happening here. We're going to see David operate from God's point of view. And the Ziphites, you see it?
Mm-hmm.
And the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, do not David hide himself in the hill of Hachilah, which is before Jezreel? Then Saul arose and went down in the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. Now, why is he seeking David? Now, what happened here? Because David was anointed by God, the people sang a song. David had killed his thousand. Saul killed Saul killed 10,000 in battle. So Saul began to become envious and jealous of David, because David was more successful than he did, and the people began to favor David. And what happened is Saul understood, when the people begin to favor you, they're going to try to make you king. So Saul feared that the people were going to try to make David king. So now I got to get rid of this David, because I'm king, and I'm not going to let anybody take my place. But little did you know, God's hand was upon David. And when God's hand is upon someone, it don't make no difference who try to do what they want to do to them, because they can't touch them, because God's hand's upon them. Amen. Something when the hand of the Lord upon you. Mm-hmm. Your enemy becomes your footstool.
Yes,
you know, 1,000 shall fall at thy side. Mm-hmm. David understood that. 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with our eyes shall we see and behold the reward of the wicked. At 91st Psalm. And so what happened to him, now Saul is seeking after David now. Now, the third verse says, and Saul pitched in the hill of Hachilah, which is before Jezreel, by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul was come in very deed. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched. And David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of the host, and Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about. And let me paint this picture here. What it is now, Saul don't know David's specific whereabouts. But now he's camping out to get some rest prior to going in and find out exactly where David is residing. And so while he's camping up, he's resting, and then what they did, he had a garrison of men around him. There was Abner, and there was his protection, you see. And the Bible said that he lay right in the midst of them, and then they surrounded him, and that was his protection. He should be able to rest peacefully. But the Bible said God put a deep sleep on these people. See, when God for you, don't make no difference who's against you. I don't care what kind of schemes and what kind of tricks they try to pull against you. God will not let anyone touch you.
That's right. Amen.
So David goes into Saul's camp. Well, let me keep reading here, because I might skip something good. And that sixth verse. Then answered David and said unto Amalek the Hittite and to Abishah the son of Zeruiah, I'm not pronouncing these words right, the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab. See, there was David's armor bearer, this real close to David. Who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishah said, I will go down with thee. See, boy, it's good to have somebody with you that got your back. Somebody with you that. You know, David didn't have to pull these people.
Right.
They were ready to go. If one would have stayed, the other one would have spoke up. That's the kind of people he had around him. And he trained these people to be like that. And the apostle, I love apostle. He trained people to be like that. But your heart got to be like that too. You can train somebody, but that don't mean your heart in it. But when you train somebody and your heart in it, boy, you're talking about another different horse.
Yes, sir.
And that's the whole truth.
Yes, sir.
I will go with thee, he said. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay around him about. Eighth verse. Then said Abishai to David. Now, here's a good point. I'm going to drop a peg. You know what a peg is, huh? When I was a little boy, we used to play peg. I'm throwing a peg in the ground here because this is a good point here. And look what happened here, he said. Abishai said, you can't let people get too close to you to try enough the way they try to lead you.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you give too much entrustment to people.
Yes,
and sometimes they'll lead you in the way that God don't want you to go.
Yeah.
You know, you trust them, you know. You love them, you trust them, they've been with you a long time, but they can't lead you. I just thought I'd throw that in the ground right there. God had delivered the enemy into thy hand this day. Now, therefore, let me smite him. You ain't got to touch him, David. I pray thee, and the spear, with the spear, even to the ground at once, and I will not smite him the second. In other words, I'm going to hit him right the first time. He's not going to suffer. King Saul's not going to suffer. And David said to Abishai, you got to be bold enough to stop your people when they get out of order.
Right.
I don't care how close they are to you.
Right.
I don't care if you offend them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you make them feel bad.
Yes,
some people are afraid to correct people because you let them get too close to them. Mm-hmm. And just let them go anyhow. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?
Right.
See, I like that. David recognized the anointing that was upon the office of Saul. Because Bob said the anointing was taken away from him, but the office. See, God anoints the office.
Mm-hmm.
See, you got ministers. I heard Apostle say it tonight. You got ministers operating in the office, but there's no anointing. The anointing been yanked away.
Mm-hmm.
But the office still there. You still got to respect the office. But no power there.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to find out one time Saul was inquiring about going to a battle, and God wouldn't even ask him anymore. He finally go to this soothsayer. He finally go to this woman who was what do you call these people in Bourbon Street?
Like a fortune teller.
Fortune teller. I didn't mean that for Bourbon Street, but these fortune tellers, and this fortune teller pulled up Samuel, the spirit of Samuel. It was a familiar spirit. And he got some instruction in the spirit to him, you're going to die today. You don't want that kind of instruction. Huh? My goodness, you're going to die today. You and your son. Now, I covered that one. Now, that's one incident. Now, let's look at another incident here concerning Saul and David. Turn with me to Twenty-six to nine. You see it? 26 to 9. We just read that one up. Yeah. But that's another one. That's another instance. I thought I had it in my notes. 24. Let's go to 24 and 1. Just back up a little bit. You ever heard him say, put the cart before the horse? I put the cart before the horse. Okay. Let's look at 24 verse. 1 Samuel 24. That was the second time Saul went after David. And it came to pass, you see it? When Saul was returned from following the Philistine, that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi.
Mm-hmm.
Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men of Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goat. And he came to the sheepcote, by the way, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, now, let me back up a little bit now. What happened here now? Saul One translation say he went in the cave to relieve himself, get some rest. Because he's traveling and he was hunting for David, but he didn't know David was in the further recesses of the cave. Him and his, has to be a big cave. David had 600 men with him. And so David was in the rear part of the cave, and Saul was in the front part of the cave, seeking after David. And then his men tell him in that next verse, and the fourth verse, and the men of David said unto him, behold, the day which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thy enemy into thy hand, that thou mayest do to him as it should seem good unto thee. You see it?
Yes, sir.
These men. These men are telling David that this day the Lord has almost like someone prophesying to you. I remember a man prophesied to me one time. Prophecy is supposed to edify, exalt, and comfort, right? That's what I was taught. My apostle taught me a long time ago. But this was years ago. And I permitted this man to do that because I trusted him. Don't trust nobody too much to prophesy to you when you don't have a confirmation of it.
Amen.
And he told me, he said, the Lord told me to tell you, and he was bold too. And I trusted him because he was older than me. He had been in ministry longer than me. And I trusted him. The Lord told me, by the end of this year, you'll be in full-time ministry. My God. Instead of me getting excited about it, that thing put a burden on me. You're almost like this horse. I told you about this horse. The man was trying to break this horse. I told some of y'all heard, some of y'all didn't hear. The man tried to break the horse. The horse wouldn't take a saddle. So what this man did, he tied the horse to a ring on a rope. You know what? You train a horse, you just run him around. Anybody know anything about a horse? And that's how you train him. Just run him around. He tried to put the saddle on him. The horse wouldn't take a saddle. Horse kept bucking the saddle off. So the horse wouldn't submit to the saddle. And so the man loaded sandbags upon his horse's back. And you call that forced submission. And finally, the horse was weighed down so much, you know, going around this circle, the horse said, give me the saddle. I'll take the saddle. So that's what it felt like on my back. Like someone had put loads of sand, weight, like I was carrying around. I carried around for 6 months. Couldn't wait till the end of the year come. Because I wasn't ready for full-time ministry. You got to hear from the Lord before you go to full-time ministry. You know, I've been on a job almost 20 years, and you're just going to quit a job and that was your life source, and then you just don't know.
Right.
So I let him prophesy to me. I'm saying that to say this. Sometimes these men seem like they were prophesying to David. Mm-hmm. And see, I swallowed that. Mm-hmm. David didn't swallow that, you see, because David had a keener sense than I did at the time. I trusted. You see, don't trust nobody but Jesus. Yeah. You got to have a confirmation.
Yes, sir.
A confirmation. Absolutely. Because if somebody prophesied to you, it should confirm what God already told you.
Yes, sir. That's right.
If not, they're trying to lead you astray.
That's right. Amen.
Unless God then ordains someone to speak into your life. Mm-hmm. See, I trust my apostle. Yes. He can speak to me anytime you're ready.
Yes,
you see, because he has a sure word, and I trust him.
Yes, sir.
I trust him. You see, that's the difference. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, back to David here, this fourth verse. This full verse here, behold, I will deliver him to thy hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt off of Saul's robe privately or privately. So David go. See, I should have read this one first. But David go into the front of the cave where Saul was. And what happened is Saul's asleep. You know, if he cut off the skirt of his robe, you know he could have cut his head off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
But the Bible said, after he cut the skirt off his, robe, his heart smote him. You know what smote me? His heart convicted him. He recognized he had touched God's anointed. You see, and it convicted him to the point that it affected him. When you come against authority, it should affect you some kind of way. If you understand authority. If you say something wrong, it should affect your heart some kind of way. If you think something wrong, see, that's why you got to watch your thought. The more you mature and understand the submission and authority, you think something wrong. You say, oh, God, forgive me. I shouldn't think that like that. Because these thoughts do come. Thoughts come and thoughts going to persist in coming. But I heard one man say, a thought unspoken dies unborn. So what you do is, when thoughts come, you stop them. You handcuff them. And you get rid of them. Amen. But you recognize this thought ain't of God. Mm-hmm. No, I don't accept this thought. And I rebuke it. 1 Corinthians said, cast down imagination. And right. Every I think that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Then he said, bring to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Yes. So you got something to do with your thoughts. If you don't take care of these thoughts, these thoughts are going to overcome you and overtake you and bring you to sin.
Wow.
Especially when it comes to authority.
Yes, sir.
It have you thinking the wrong thing at the wrong time, but the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
It not only think it, but you come to a place where you begin to say what you think.
My Lord.
And when you say what you think, you get to the sin of reviling,
mm-hmm.
speaking evil against the authority or leadership that God has ordained.
Wow.
And that's where you get the spiritual trouble. And most people don't recognize what's happening. And then they start to function rebellion. And they don't know that spirit of rebellion got upon them. And they don't correct or repent. And then now they don't correct it. Now God said, I got to judge this. Get it right. But they can't get it right now because my pride is still stuck up. Pride is a dangerous thing. The Bible says pride come right before the fall. Or fall come right after pride. So David men tried to lead him in a particular way that God don't want them to go.
Yes, sir.
And the same verse says, and he said unto his men, I messed up. You see? See, you can't be afraid as a leader to say you messed up.
Amen.
I forbid, you see, that I should do this thing unto my master.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can't do it, you can't do it. He called Saul his master. The Lord's anointed. To stretch forth my hand against him. Seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. See, he was under such conviction. Under such conviction, his horse. I remember my horse smote me one time. I had never felt like that before. I think I told the story again before, but I'm going to tell it again. I went to this funeral years ago, Apostle sent me, it wasn't a funeral, some of the members, one of the members passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you go to comfort the family at the hospital. I stayed with the families through the whole process. The family went home and it was rough for the family. So I'd been at the hospital for hours with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the undertaker come and take the body, y'all remember the story. You see, I'm going to tell it again. And so we stayed at the hospital until about 3 or 4 hours. And then I didn't know how to go to the house. So I went to the family house with the family. And just shared scripture with them and helping them. And then an apostle called me. He said, Ronald, you still there? I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm headed over to the house. I said, yes, sir, I'll be here. And so, because he wanted to speak to the family, nothing like a pastor, a church leader. See, I was all right, but nothing like, you know what I'm saying, nothing like a pastor, nothing like that pastor to comfort the people, nothing like that man of God. You see, I held him a little while. And matter of fact, when I ministered, I said, Lord, let me hold him a little while until the pastor come back. You see, and that's our job as servant, just to hold him until the leaders come back or until the leaders can be there. Just comfort him the best you can, because nothing like that apostle's heart.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like that. See, God anointed him for that. So you can't, certain things you just can't stay and do and be.
Amen.
Can I say it again?
Yes,
certain things you just can't stay or do and be.
That's right.
You know, people don't understand that. They try to stay too much and be too much, and they won't be the leader.
Yeah.
And they get in trouble.
Yep.
Stay in your place.
Amen.
Some people don't know how to handle this position of serving. You see, because when the cat away, they won't play. They won't get in the, I don't know how I'm getting all over this. They won't get in the pulpit and they won't just show off.
My Lord.
They won't say all their revelation.
Mm-hmm.
No.
My Lord.
Your job is just to undergird,
mm-hmm.
build upon
mm-hmm.
what he already said.
Amen.
And path to stay at this. And path to stay at that.
That's right.
Just reaffirm, say what he's saying. Don't bring no new revelation out.
Come on.
I saw a man one time. He won't bring his revelation out. Boy, he ain't preaching a long time after that. No. Any new revelation come out, the man of God's supposed to bring it out.
Amen.
Right. I remember another time. I don't know if I was supposed to call this man's name. A well-known speaker. I don't want to say it because I don't want to do that.
Yes,
he's going to be with the Lord now. A great faith man.
Mm-hmm.
He came to the church and possibly was out of town. So I was host. I said, oh Lord, I was host. In other words, I was host. And so the man was a faith teacher. He want to teach on the Book of Revelation. I said, Lord, why you gonna do them when the pastor gone, when the pastor, why I'm stuck with this? These people are so confused. Our congregation was so confused. And see, a pastor wasn't there to correct the man, and I'm not qualified to correct him, because this man been preaching long as I was old. This man been out there a long time, but he's gonna preach on Revelation. And now I'm stuck with this assignment now. And then people are so confused. Now, apostles had to come back and gather up the hens, gather up the flock, and straighten them and just recover them from that mess. Because they were confused. I was confused. Everybody was confused. How I got over that? I don't know. But anyway. I know our job is not to bring out a new revelation. You see, undergird. Help. So most time you teach, I'll normally teach on authority or ministerial help. You know what we should be doing to help out and to make the ministry. You know make apostles lift up his hand like it did Moses. You understand? Moses got tired and lift up his hand.
Mm-hmm.
I'll drop you up, hold his hand up.
Yes,
not to hold our hand up.
Right.
We need to be heard and not seen.
Yes,
see, it's a I almost say it's a trick to doing that, but it's the art, you know, it's the anointing to do that.
Amen.
Because a lot of times people get they just want to show their revelation. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Now Saul, look what David said. So David, that seventh verse, look what he did. Already? How long that been like zero? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going, I can't believe that.
Seven verses.
That guy just started. You show that clock, Ryan?
Yeah.
Amen. But we're going to take up somewhere on this another time. My goodness. All right, Clyde.